Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about how to find your weaknesses so you can focus your training to get maximum impact. Probably the first thing to know about weaknesses is you probably know what they are already. You will have things that you like to do and things that you don't like to do. And more often than not, the things that you don't like to do are around areas of weakness. So if you don't like sprinting, then chances are that's underdeveloped. And so for me, I really dislike 10Ks as a distance. So as a result, it is underdeveloped. Sprinting is also really underdeveloped. But if you'd like some actual numbers to back that up, you can use like a racing equivalence calculator, which I can link you to, where you put in what your best time is, and probably best to put in a PB from something that you feel strongest in. So for me, definitely my strongest distance in terms of races is the half marathon. So I'll put in my half marathon time, and then it's going to kind of give me an idea of if I was equally as strong in sprinting and middle distance and long distance as I was in the half marathon, what those times should be. So if I put in my 140 half marathon, it would tell me that my 200 meters should be about 4 seconds faster than it is, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot for 200 meters. The 400 meters is even more of a hole, because it should be about 11 seconds faster than what it is. So that is, sprinting is obviously an area where there's a lot of room for improvement. The mile is actually identical to what it is. Like, it extrapolates that I should be able to run a 6:36 mile, which is exactly what I did run. The 5K, it thinks should be about a minute faster than what it is, and the 10K about 2 minutes faster. And you can also sort of like take what you like to do though and create some context for that. There are plenty of times when I would be using sprints in a workout, but not a whole lot of times that I would be running sort of all out for 5 or 10Ks, because I don't tend to race those distances. So the fact that they're 1 to 2 minutes off, and most of my PBs for those are set in half marathons, if I was to do a true test of it, it would probably be around about where it is. So if I was looking at my thing, I would go, okay, sprinting is where I am weakest in terms of energy systems. And that is not surprising, because I came into running as a 30-something year old, not having done any kind of like sprinting at school or any running at school or anything like that. So I kind of skipped over all of that stuff that people often do when they are doing running at school or at university or whatever else like that. So it's sort of this gap in my training. And if you think about it, like, if I'm trying to improve the things that I'm good at, I'm sort of improving things by like 1%, because I've sort of been working for several years on them at this stage. And so the improvements, all the big improvements, have in some ways already happened. And now I'm kind of like dealing with the top end of the improvements. Whereas something like sprinting, which I haven't actually worked on that much, there's a lot more room for improvement there. So if I focus on that, those improvements are going to happen a lot more quickly, and they're going to translate a lot more to broader improvements across the board. So for my rehab, one of the things I've been doing is 200 meter sprinting and 600 meter sprinting. And in fairness, I don't hate the 200s as much as I hate the 600s, because 200s, they're just over more quickly. But in some ways they are probably more frustrating, because they've improved, but it's very slow going. Whereas the 600s, so I guess I've been doing them for a good few months at least. I'm not sure when I started doing them exactly, but I would definitely have been doing them for a few months now. And when I started, I was doing about 2 minutes and 40 seconds for the 600. And now, like, my most recent one was about 220. So that's a significant improvement in a short period of time that I would probably not see necessarily an equivalent improvement at the other distances, because I've been working on them for a really long time and the sprinting has kind of been untouched, in part because most of the times that I would run sort of 200s or 600s are more in an endurance style sort of interval session, where you're kind of like running, you know, 10 of them, and you've got your jogging in between, so your top level energy system is not resetting in any way. And the goal is to be kind of consistent with the pace, whereas when I do sprints, it's the hard work is in doing an all out effort for the first one, knowing I have more after that and that they're going to get slower. But the only goal of those sprint sessions is to be as fast as humanly possible on the first one, and then it's just, you know, whatever I can hang on to after that. And it has improved in terms of the first one, but also in terms of not sort of the other ones don't fall off as quickly as what they used to. So you can kind of use something like that to kind of like work out where you need the most work, because a lot of times when you're looking at training plans, they're guessing what you need. Like, obviously there's a certain amount where you've just got to do the distance. Like, if you're training for a half or 10Ks, you know, you're going to have a long run that is going to be focused on building the distance so it's comfortable and everything like that. And there's certain things that are going to be pretty much the same across most training plans. But it's kind of guessing what you need. Like, we're going to do this amount of easy running through the week. We're going to do this amount on the long run. We're going to do like this amount of tempo sessions. We're going to do this amount of intervals. And it's kind of assuming that you are equally strong in all of those things, but that is rarely the case. So when you have an idea of what you need to work on, you can really zero in those quality sessions on the things that need the most work, because if you are really good at, if you are really strong in, say, you know, like tempo running or something like that, as nice of an ego boost as it can be to go and do those sessions, the truth is that you're always going to be able to do them anyway. They're probably not really pushing you, and you'd probably be better off investing that time and effort into something that you're not good at. So for example, if you're looking at doing a half marathon training plan, but you know that you are pretty good at 10K and 5K distances, but you're really kind of weak in the mile, you might take out a whole bunch of those quality sessions that are asking you to run intervals at 5K to 10K pace and replace them with things that are specific to the mile. And that way you can start sort of customizing your training plan so that you're going to get the most out of it. And so, and that's sort of how you can think about it. Like, tempo running is generally running at 10K pace. So if you're really strong at 10K pace, then you can probably cut down on the amount of those sorts of workouts that you are doing. And sort of similarly, there will be other sessions where they'll be running at 5K pace. And again, if that's something that you're relatively strong in, you might like to change it up to do more of a sprint session instead, because that top level energy system that the sprinting is working on is going to benefit you even when you are doing something that is perceived as pretty aerobic, like a half marathon, because it's not like you're ever exclusively in one system, one energy system. You know, you're always using a combination of them. And when you are kind of running and you increase your speed and you have like a bit of a surge, you're using that top level energy system to bring your body up to speed, and then your speed system takes over and can kind of maintain it. So having really made inroads into all of those energy systems is going to have the biggest amount of impact, rather than continuing to focus on all of the things that you are actually already quite strong at. It's similar to if your training's really good, but your sleep and your nutrition is garbage, the quickest way to improve is to look after the sleep and the nutrition. And it's sort of just like attacking the things that are like the lowest hanging fruit, you know, like whatever is the easiest change that you can make that is going to have the most amount of impact are the things that are going to definitely sort of maximize the effort that you are putting into it. And there are other things too, apart from just, you know, pure what your PBs are, there are other things where you can kind of tell where there are weak points. And that might be that you really struggle in the last 2 kilometers of your long run, or there is, you know, it's that sort of that last section of the last 2 kilometers of a hard 5k, or that you always sort of struggle in a little bit in the middle of workouts, or whatever it is. Like, everybody has their thing and everybody knows most of the time what it is, and there are ways that you can sort of create a program that is going to target in on those areas where you struggle with. So if you tend to have a bit of a fade at the end of the long run, it might be starting to practice having, you know, 10 minutes of tempo running at the end of your long run. And the first few are going to feel pretty awful, but you will get better at it. Or it might be practicing a negative split at park run to kind of get better at like developing that kick at the end. Or if you're wanting to work on your 10K and really focus in on that speed system, then it might be a matter of setting up an interval session, but making sure that you are jogging at a reasonable pace all of your recoveries, so your upper level energy system never really has a chance to fully reset, so you are forcing your speed system to do all of the work for that workout. And some of working on your weaknesses can be outside of running too. So if you notice that in photos of yourself, you know, at the end of a race or a long run, that you're kind of slouching or you're a bit collapsed or you're like hips dropping or whatever, then you can go, okay, this is like clearly I'm going to do heaps better if I'm able to do a lot more core work to keep all of my posture in good shape so that I can maintain good technique throughout the whole thing, because it's just going to make me more efficient. And if you're working on more on your sprinting, then it's all about how much power you can put into the ground. So you might start doing some heavy deadlifts to just improve your power base. What you don't want to do is accept, oh, you know, like I'm just not a sprinter, or I'm just not a long distance person, or, oh, you know, I really dislike this distance or whatever, because actually those weaknesses are the best gift that you could have, because it's something really tangible that you can work on and improve on, and is going to have a much sort of like, it's going to give you a bigger bang for your buck than anything else you could possibly do. So instead of feeling deflated about weaknesses, that's something that should be really exciting to you, because it's an opportunity to work on something and become great at it. And that's all it is. It's an opportunity for growth. And that is essentially what you're looking for in any kind of training plan or training cycle, is just where are the opportunities for you to grow the most. And when you find those, and that's a real blessing. It's not something to sort of lose confidence in, although sometimes some of those workouts can can be ego busters. But I think it's all about how you go into those sessions and the attitude that you have with that. Is I think that if you go into it with a more positive mindset and a mindset for learning, then how you come out of it is going to be hugely different. Like probably when I started doing the 200s on my, and I do most of them on, like I have a, because I'm doing them in a circle on the oval track, and I am stronger turning right because one of my obliques is stronger than the other than I am turning left, which is unfortunate because when you do track races, they're only ever turning left, so it's always going to be on my weaker side. So it's a great thing to work on. So when I started doing that, they were probably 40 seconds at a push, and now many, many 200s later and a few months later, like maybe I might be able to get away with like a 37 seconds on that side. So it can be kind of thing where it's like doing the first one, I try, you know, like you don't really have ability to kind of like look at your watch. So I don't really have any idea. Like I'm going as fast as I can humanly go. And then I'll often like press the lap button on my watch at the end and I'll be like, really? It was so slow. So those kinds of things, how you then respond to that makes, I think, a huge difference to what you get out of it. I could easily kind of look at that and go, I'm never going to get better at this. Like it's never going to be like we have a target for what we want to get the 200s to, which seems like a long way off because I think it was, what's the target, like 31 seconds, which seems like it's going to be a lot of work to get it down to that. And it would be easy to kind of like sort of feel deflated by that, like you're working really hard and it's not, and it's improving, but very, very, very slowly. But there are a couple of things that you want to create some context for that. So in the time that I've been working on the 200s, I've been distance building. So even the ability to hang on to my pace while going from, you know, running 40 kilometers a week to 100 kilometers a week is a big thing. So that is an improvement, even if it doesn't always feel like one. And the other part of it is just maintaining that curious mindset about it. So most weeks when I do it, I try something new. So 1 week I might try running without shoes, which had a huge impact for improving the 600s, but very minimal impact on the 200s. It was much the same. And I'm getting used to running in spikes, which I think will, on the grass, which I think will make it easier. But just with the shoes being that much lighter and just that more contact with the ground, I think just improves things. And then, you know, like other weeks I will try sort of different strategies with the 200s in terms of, you know, does it work better if I'm just like absolutely all out and then try to resist the dying in the last 100 meters? Does it work out better if I'm more consistent? How does it go if I, you know, try to, you know, sort of like pump the arms a little bit more, you know, like if I focus on having like a stiff leg as I hit the ground, does that work a bit better? And it's all just about, even if none of those things had an impact at all, I'm staying in being engaged with the process and also kind of going in there with the belief that there has to be a way to get better at 200s, and whatever it is, I will find it. So I think going into sessions, particularly sessions that don't suit where your strengths are, going into sessions and treating them as a learning experience can make a huge difference to how you feel about doing the next one and also how you feel about the session itself, so it doesn't become a thing that dents your confidence or takes something away from you. That's it for this week. I will be back next week. We have Learn to Run, which is starting on the 10th of September, and people are starting to join the Facebook group now. So if you want to sign up for that, then you can work your way through some of the preliminary program before we actually kick off and get started. And if you do ever have any questions that you'd like me to answer on the podcast, you can just email me at zoe@operationmove.com.au. That's Zoey, or just tag me in the community group. Speak to you soon. Bye.